So what did we find? We did find resounding excitement about the idea of Chicago State expanding our footprint. A little backstory would be, as we all know, we are the largest employer on the south side. But beyond that, we're also the largest landholder in the area. And it's also exciting to know just the opportunity that we have for the 95th Street corridor. So we have the Red Line extension, which is moving in a way that it hasn't, despite being talked about for decades. And then on the other end is the metro station on our campus. A little bit later on, I'll get into what the development plans are looking like there. But the headline would be within a year, we are hopeful that ground will be breaking for a new station on our campus. So that's exciting. That's a lot of development and activity happening. So what our engagement found was that there was excitement about the idea of a university village. There was interest in greater presence of CSU within the community and really bringing our campus to the curb. Of course, our neighborhood is predominantly Black, and so the residents were really excited about us embracing that culture and providing programming and design elements that highlighted that. At the same time, there was also a lot of interest in retaining our trees. So the green aesthetic, the natural aesthetic, was fully appreciated. And so in the plan itself, you'll see a balance between maintaining green spaces and having that right up against buildings that we would put in. And then there was also interest in larger buildings and uses, but wanting those densities to be somewhat in line with the surrounding area, which is, you know, one, two-story home. Next slide, please. So in terms of the uses that were found to be most of interest, so certainly there's just more information. It's like from everything from restaurants, grocery stores, shopping, to wanting the institution to support community economic development. Incubator was a term that came up quite a bit. For the campus community, housing was one of the biggest themes. As I'm sure this group knows, our dorm is at capacity. There's actually a waiting list. And further, our residence hall does not support families. And we have a high proportion of students who are both parents, but we also have graduate students. So then my closing note would be that we are releasing the economic development plan on October 15th. And this evening we would be honored to have you all there. Chairs off, we have invited you to speak, as you may know when you're and we'll have a mix of elected officials and business leaders joining us as we unveil this. And we're calling it a re-envisioning of the 95th Street Corridor. Thank you. Just a couple of updates on what the department has been doing. We were sponsors of the Bud Billiken Parade, so we were proud to have 100 student, faculty, staff, and alumni who joined our float, who joined us at the VIP breakfast, as well as fueling up the FFAR. As you heard earlier, we did have a bigger presence in the Chicago Football Classic than in years past. Trustee Alum was, of course, a bit of a celebrity for us, which was wonderful. But going beyond that, our band actually welcomed me and Mayor Daley for an honorarium that he received. And this is part of our overall goal to be really embracing the big work that we do as it relates to supporting Black students and deepening our association with the football class, which is part of that vision. So as it relates to Metro, we need to engage Metro deeply to keep that work moving forward.
Has it started?
No. It is going to the board in March 2024 with groundbreaking plan for fall 2024. It is a year later than we had hoped. What we do know is that they tell us that there is full funding from, and that's funding coming from the county, the state, the federal government, that covers the cost of the full scope of the project. And we believe we need to engage them on an ongoing basis to keep that project moving, which is why we've now got them agreeing to meet with us on a quarterly basis. We are also doing a community needs assessment for the Gift of Hope location, and so the goal is to understand the types of courses and programs that we should be conducting there, and to also get to know the stakeholders that are around that location.
Are we in the space? Are we doing anything there, or what's the status of that? No, we're not.
Yeah, I'll be
okay, great, thanks. It's on here, sorry.
No problem. And then I also want to highlight that you have two new team members within the Department of External Affairs. So one is that I hired a government affairs director with extensive experience of advocacy at the local, state, and federal level. That was a position open for 10 months. So it's a huge relief to have a great fit within that position. And then we have a new position, which is the director of philanthropic and corporate relationships. So we added this role with the recognition that we've had an abundance of employers looking to work with us, and we needed to give them a VIP experience to make sure that we could really deliver on the partnership requests that they had. It will also support the university's fundraising as well. So an individual by the name of Yvette Tao, who's got nearly 20 years of experience in corporate and philanthropic cultivation, has joined our team. And then my final update would be around our national coalition of predominantly Black institutions. So this coalition has been working for over a year. We are now up to 21 institutions that are active within the coalition. The reason that we formed this coalition was as we engaged with stakeholders in D.C., we found that there was very little understanding of who PDIs are and what we do, including from both the corporate community as well as philanthropy. And what we learned is that we needed to work with other PDIs in order to raise interest in funding and supporting PDIs. So we're doing what we're calling a fly-in event in November, and we will be not only meeting with congressional members, but we will also hold a briefing for congressional offices, for think tanks, for philanthropy based in D.C., with other, not only PDIs, but also congressional members and subject matter experts, including the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. We'll meet with members of the White House and federal agencies as well. And we are doing additional engagement on the Hill to make our presence known and to deepen our relationships. So that includes joining later this week the Congressional Black Caucuses Conference on State Policy. And then next week I will be in D.C. for an HBCU week. And that concludes my report.
Any questions for Erin? Terrific. Thank you. And can you just make sure that you or Teresa, resend the date for the press conference so that the full board knows that they want to come? Thank you. Okay, Dr. Roundtree.
You were talking about you earlier.
A lot.
I just want to say the memo about the slides might be in my email. You guys can't see it. So you're going to hear from me.
That's fine. You don't have to have slides.
No.
We've all seen more PowerPoints than we care to talk about.
True.
Want to update you on a few things. We'll start with the David Cannon Child Care Center. Unfortunately, Jean Taylor, she was here earlier, but she didn't have to leave for a long time. Actually, with the center. We want that to continue. But let me give you an update. We actually opened the center on Monday, August 4th for our Head Start classroom. We opened with 8 students. As of today, we have 13 who have been admitted and 11 are fully attending. We have another 7 applications in process, and we should be at our max maximum of 19 students. I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks. So we do have our teachers on board. It is exciting. People have seen them around campus. I think it's bringing a new set of energy. Unfortunately, our director, Betty Edwards, she left us at the beginning of August, but we knew we had a new interim director, April Rose, who started August 28th. She has been fully processed through our Head Start grant as well as UCSF, so she is on board and we're going to be doing a complete search for the director. So she has joined us and is very energetic and knowledgeable about the position. We will begin enrolling for the second classroom, which will not be directly under Head Start. It will hold the same program, but it will allow us to meet the needs of employees and potentially students who do not qualify for Head Start programming and funding. Our early Head Start program, which are our children under 3, we currently have 6 enrolled. And our maximum capacity for that program is 12. Those students are being seen at home from our home worker who goes out and provides developmental education. We are working with Mr. Holmes around our second center, the 03 center. And we just saw a plan. I'm sure he has more details about them. So hopefully that construction will start soon, and we're hoping that that capacity will allow us to bring in another 40-plus students. We are also, we have been fully licensed for after school as well, and we hope to open that where we need to hire more teachers, and the after school program will give us service from 4:30 to 8:30. And that will allow us to have students bring their children down up to the age of 3 to 12. But our goal is October 30th to launch the after school program. And we continue to work with the Food Campus grants as well as community groups. But we're also working with Paul, who's given us some other needs for scholarship funding and support for the center. Our big issue right now is increasing the staff, which will look at the teacher and teacher assistant. Anyone who might know please feel free to reach out. Want to update you a little bit about our Institute for Earth, for Solutions of Urban Population. We have the Institute for Urban Population, you may not know, is part of our IIN, Illinois Innovation Network Hub, where we are building the space for it in Douglas Hall. The Institute and its adjacent centers have been approved by the state of Illinois. Higher ed. We have been lucky enough to hire a director for the Illinois Education Equity Center who has started, and we will be sponsoring a kind of relaunch conference around the state of Black education in October in order to kind of relaunch the center and reorient the state to the initiative and the strategic plan that was developed from the Illinois Equity Working Group. We are in the process, we have received a donation for the Workforce Center, so we are in the process of trying to hire a director for our Workforce Equity Center. In the meantime, we are also working to bring faculty on board in the center by providing a couple of small seed grants to work on some workforce analysis in the area of areas that are promising for students or other students coming to the state in terms of where the trend is going for the future. So we believe, and we have hired a consultant who is working for us to bring the center to fruition, helping us bring together the advisory board and clarify our mission and direction. So we think the workforce center should be up and moving, hopefully in January, moving that area. What's really nice is many of the grants that we have received in the last year or so are working very well underneath the central framework, which is around social determinants of health. We have climate, and transportation, those under the environment, and grants that we have possibly success, as well as education. So we think this is a structure that will support us well in the future. For student success, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Holmes.
Good afternoon,
everyone,
and I don't have a flag. Good afternoon. But I have some information for you, so thank you all for having me. I'm really excited. One, I want to share that today our inaugural director of student retention and student success started. She's in orientation and speech, so I'm super excited. Her role is focused heavily on helping us. I focus on the data that relates to student success, so we can really drill down.
Who is this?
This is Dr. Erica Reed. She's coming to us from Olive Garden College.
And she'll be doing what?
She's going to do success. Focusing on data. I know President Scott is doing cartwheels. I'm so excited to be onboarding her and working alongside her. She has several years of experience working directly with students in academic advising. And in addition to focusing on the data, she's also going to help us get our EAP navigate model, so that's our customer relations model that we'll use to really focus on student success, to engage student engagement, be able to send text messages to our students. She'll be working with the different directors and different departments to really have a close alignment and being able to communicate what is the data saying and how can those departments leverage the data so that they can really help our students to be able to transition semester to semester. So I'm so excited about that position starting. As it relates to our Rise Academy office, well, in general, we have a couple staff engineers that occur within the Department of Student Success. Our Director of Academic Advising, Tim Bennett, has retired, and so we've been in the search. We had a failed search initially. Actually, Dr. Reed was a candidate that we wanted to serve in that capacity, and we cannot support her at the level that we wanted financially, but we wanted to bring her forward in this other capacity. So we are still looking for a Director of Academic Advising, and so we have some promising leads, other individuals that apply for other positions that we're looking at and trying to put the right individuals in the right position. So I'm really creatively looking at our applicants, regardless of what they apply for. So even if they may not be a good fit for one department, we're trying to keep them at a place that they can fit within our institution. So I'm looking to replace our Director of Academic Advising. Right now, our senior advisor, Kevin Newell, is serving in an interim capacity to support the department and lead the team. So it's really been helpful to have this open support, and as well as working alongside our faculty liaison for faculty advisors, Dr. Gerald Jurisong. We are also looking to replace our director for Rise Academy, Dr. Lee Rose, who signed at the end of August. And so that's another prime position we're looking to fill here on campus. And so that position should be posted soon and hope to get some fellow candidates for us to be able to interview and choose from. Our Rise coordinator, Jacqueline Smith, has stepped up, and she's leading the Rise Academy program in interim capacity. She's been with Rise since the beginning, for about 2 years now. She's been with Rise Academy. Last year, she was promoted from academic advisor to Rise coordinator, and so she has some experience to really be able to support the program in interim capacity. This year, Rise Academy, we've seen an 8.5% increase in the numbers of students that came here from last year. This year, we have 142 participants across all three cohorts. The first cohort serves 50 students, the second cohort serves 46, and we just finalized enrollment for our third cohort to start next month for the number 46 students, which is huge for us to see this increase in Rise Academy. So I'm really excited. We learned a lot from Rise last year, which allowed us to put in place the student signs and agreements. there are different life circumstances. Some students were not fully prepared academically, and they were not ready for the grid, and some of them decided to go to a community college before starting at a four-year school. So we have been in touch with all of those students, so we are aware of why they left the university. And so those students that remain here creating great background support. We've expanded our relationship with MyGPS. So MyGPS is the only service for our students over the summer where they come in and provide some personal branding support. They help students identify their why they have decided to come to college. And so what we've decided to do is work with them throughout the academic year to kind of expand that. It's one thing to get it for a 3 or 4 hour workshop once in the summer, but to be able to carry that forward as students are going through the academic year where they're really, really kind of getting freaked out about some of the realities of sitting in a classroom setting and imposter syndrome setting in. And so we wanted my GPS to come in a few times a semester to work with cohorts 1 and 2 and 3 to be able to support them. And what we've been doing is we meet with them a couple weeks ahead of their scheduled meeting so that we can say, okay, this is the overall agenda, but based upon the last few weeks, this is what we've seen and this is what we'd like to address in those sessions so that they can really speak to the issues that our students are dealing with. The goal there is to keep students engaged on their why, keep them engaged on why they're pursuing the students that are not engaging throughout the year. So we really want to be able to keep them engaged in their why and understanding and just always reevaluating, but also knowing that they're supposed to be here. Because many of our students leave because they get tripped out and they don't think that they're supposed to be here. So they don't feel like they're in the right place. In addition to that, many of our high students from last year, we started our sophomore academy program, so still fairly new, but we did have about 46 of our high students from last year that transitioned into the sophomore academy program. So they're also being supported on the second level, so that there's a continuity into some of the support services that they received from last year. And I'm happy to report that out of our rise scholars, they are averaging about 13 credit hours this fall semester, those that are old school time. So we're really excited about that. We did note that there were some challenges. One of the things we're seeing that we're hoping to be able to address through this third cohort is that all of our conditional admins coming into Success View, they are required to participate in RISE Academy. Later in the summer, many of them were admitted, so they have to participate in the second cohort. So we've probably seen about twice the amount of Success View students that were in the second cohort compared to the first cohort. And we also know that those students didn't perform as well as we would like them to. So because we know that information, we can provide that as support throughout the semester to them. And we also know that we have an increase in those students that are participating. And the third cohort, so we can get ahead of that and better support them throughout that 5 week course that they'll be taking in October. So those are the primary updates that we have for student success. Are there any questions?
Is the Braven program still here?
Is Braven still here? I know that the Braven program was being run by the dean of students, Antoine Cameron, and the we didn't do it last year, Dr. Roundtree.
No, we didn't do it last year. I think they had some on campus and got an orientation a couple of times, so I believe we had at least one student who was able to take advantage of a internship.
It was Beta Williams. Mm-hmm. He did an internship.
Didn't Asia give me money for that?
It was a paid internship through Braven, right?
Yeah, but didn't we get money to do the Braven program?
We did. We had a supporter for the foundation for 1 year.
Okay. 1 year.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. It was from Relativity.
Right.
Andrew Sager.
Yeah.
Yeah, his wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
You know, the thing about Braven that's a little different is that Braven focuses on high performing students.
Right.
So they're only really interested in engaging students who are in our honors college.
Right.
And the students that, you know. That
I know you're focused on a different subset.
Right.
I got it. I just wanted to know. Thank you. Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else have any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
That was terrific. Dr. Roundtree, you got a couple more things.
Okay. Give people a sign. From my list. Give the site on something. That site is being developed. The space is almost done. They're in the middle of installing a lot of the technology and upgrades, so it is not scheduled for occupancy until probably mid-November. small room, and it has approximately five classrooms set up, as well as a gym area. So our initial goal is to really start with non-credit-bearing courses, so moving a lot of our options programs over there to start, because we can do that without any accreditation issues. So that's part of the community engagement plan that we have, to talk to the community about what kinds of programs do they really want. We can put certificates, we can put line dancing, we can
Dental assistant would be there.
Dental assistant. All the things that we can build that are non-credit, honestly, those kind of things. With the long-term goal of potentially being able to move credit-bearing courses over there, we have to apply for HLC to move a credit-bearing courses off campus if we, depending how much of the program we offer off campus. Once you do that, you also require to have a full set of services available at that location for the employee. So that's the long-term goal. Once we do the community engagement, we really think we'll probably only start programming in January, because we don't open until November. That's kind of running into the holidays.
Right.
But if the rooms are pretty much done, the furniture is being ordered, everything is still moving fairly quickly. We will probably also try to have some kind of reserve space opening as well.
Okay.
I think the other thing on our list is related to personnel. One thing I want to point out is we now have, I told you this morning, we had 10 faculty, new faculty, and 10 that had left. We have 14 to 16 faculty on what's called Final Four. Final Four is a faculty member, you get to declare, I'm going to retire, and in Final Four, you get some incentives with required teaching at your base salary and making take advantage of. We, again, have about 14 to 16 people on that list. However, I've also become aware that everyone who's on that list are planning to stay here all 4 years. So we are looking at a significant turnover in faculty. Our groups are on the two ends, either very new or very seasoned. So we are working diligently at this point to start hiring teachers now in order, and then looking at the mixture of faculty that we need.
Right.
Such as in social work, they have two openings, but we identified that one of them needs to be a clinical faculty with more clinical experience than they are a tenure track faculty, so we're adjusting positions. So, instead of waiting until they tell us, which a lot of people tend to tell us at the last minute, that they're leaving, where if you're on that list, we're already starting to talk to the department about
Can I just go back to that faculty as you're looking? Do we have capacity? So let's just say you find a fabulous person that can fill in for somebody who's on the list, but they're not leaving this year. Do we have capacity to still bring that person on? Because it seems to me like you could find somebody fabulous, but then you've got them in a holding pattern for some extensive period of time.
It depends on the department, and some we do and some we don't.
Okay.
But that's why I'm doing a lot more work on really leaving. Literally, I just found out that when she's faculty, she's on the final floor, she's still going to be there. So we need to move
that. Right, okay. Got it.
If getting to get a better sense instead of people just coming up at the last minute,
Right.
In August.
Right, okay, thanks.
And the other one is the provost search. So we are beginning that process. President is written out of charge, and we're working on the search committee. And then we will begin some of the transition, working really hard right now on making sure that all the other people within my unit have a clear, documented roles and responsibilities as we move forward, so that when the new cohort comes, there's very clear roles and distinctions between all of the people within the academic.
And trying to make sure that we've captured everything that you do.
Yes, my goal is to share presentation. I'm asking everyone to document everything.
Right. Okay. And the process is you put together a search committee, the firm goes out and recruits people, and when do you anticipate initially starting to talk to people?
We're talking to the firm. Our initial goal is to probably have interviews in early spring. And what we're hoping, the ideal would be to have this person come like May. However, because of academic calendars, it's really hard to switch out. So if they don't come in May, the final cutoff date would be July 1. But we're pushing the firm for a little bit of overlap time.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions for Dr. Rountree? Okay. Awesome. Oscar, I have some kind of bad news. So we promised people we would leave at 2. We have about 15 minutes, which basically is going to constitute Michael's report. And since we have a pretty good idea of kind of where you are, and we have other opportunities from you on the strategic plan, we're going to put that off for another time. Okay. Thank you for being here. Michael, you're up. Mr. Holmes, our Vice President of Administrative Services.
I am Holmes. I know we're talking about the paper, but
I like it.
We're good. We old school.
I like it.
We like paper. Yeah.
I was
wondering
if Michael Holmes, Administrative Services, been 5 years. All I'm going to do is a quick update on our CDB project. These projects are fully funded by the state. I did sort of one project on them, we talked about earlier, the Walgreens project, which I should imagine. But just briefly, one of these projects are this campus when first came was at night, it was truly at night, and you couldn't see in front of yourself. So we're happy to say that light pole project, we've replaced over 115 light poles and lights on campus. So at night, it's illuminated on this campus now. We still have to do some testing on this in the wooded area to the west, but the poles are up, lights are in, and we just have to find out what that is. We're happy with the start of our lot, parking lots that are up. We have 11 up right now. We're actually going to start on the library lot tomorrow, and another lot that's on the east side near the student dorm. We've already just completed and are striping right now. One, we finished out 3 full lots, so the students better park back on there after tomorrow. It should be this evening, I think, have to go out there today. Our elevator project is back up and running. We went through a lot of levels, so there's 4 underway right now. This building right now is one that's being underway, being done with the freight elevator. And we also just got the Cook building back up and running again. They made some additional moderations, and we still have to do some minor modifications, but they're going to be up and running, and we hope to have that completed by next summer. Our sidewalk and road project is moving along. We're doing large stretches of walkway on campus. One convenience, but it's going to look really nice. We just finished paving some other big areas. And so we have a little ways to go with that. We're going to get as much as we can do before it gets too cold. So we're pushing that pretty fast. So also I passed on one picture that we solidified the corner of King Drive. That's our Maryland address. There was never anything there. President Scott wanted something on that corner, and I think we gave what she was looking for. So I had that.
The
name of the school. That's all I wanted was the name of Chicago State University.
But that was pretty good. And then we're also going to start on the ring road. Our roads are really dangerous. Spot over there.
Don't say that. Don't use the word dangerous.
I'm sorry. Our roads need repairing. We're going to start on the ring road this year. Hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll start that. They're working on the drains right now and then start on the rest of the roads. The Robinson building, we came into that building, potentially we're going to need to demolish. We talked to PBS and restoring the building. We got the funding for that. They're 95% complete with the exterior. We finally took that fence down and seeded the grass. It looks a lot better than when we first came on the campus. And the next phase is the interior demolition and then the design, the interior design of what we want to do. Obviously, we have a lot of need on campus. Athletics, student recreation, and also we want to generate some income opportunities, banquet facilities, we talk about a bowling alley and store for students, small mini market for students as well. So we're going to try to serve as much as we can in that building. It's a large facility, and we want to make sure we maximize the use of that building by giving everybody a little something and also generating some income out of the property as well. We talked about the Walgreens Center and Walgreens. That's under construction right now. We just finished some electrical implementation. We got some more carpentry work. Then we'll start on the interior design. Again, we're looking for that to be a corner opposite of what we just talked about at the metro station. So that'll enter the university on one of our major streets, Cottage Road and King Drive. So we're really looking forward to that project as well. The swimming pool in JDC, I know that's been a favorite community, but I have to say that, you know, we made a decision and we found out something that I think was really important because of what was happening with the exterior of the building. It was important that was discovered because that, you know, could have had major issues with that. That picture is what's going to look like in the summer of next year.
Wow.
We already have finished the mechanicals inside, so that's all ready to go. We actually can put water in the pools right now. We've made that much progress. But obviously, we've got to do the exterior and then put some new tiles in, but that can be done in a matter of weeks, so that's not a major thing. Provost, once we mentioned in the child, new entry child care center, and that project is actually in design right now. We have a meeting this week that they're going to do a first review of the design. It's going to be really nice. Actually, we're setting up a design that will merge the infant care with the existing child care center with its own separate entryway, drive-in, drop-off, and that will be to the east of campus. So parents can just come on in, drop their students, come with their kids off, and keep on going to work, or even if they can park and designate some parking spots for those that can park and go into the daycare center. But we wanted to separate it so that it could be independent and wouldn't be interfering with students, egress, and so forth, in and out of the building or from the building. So we look forward to that project getting underway and getting under construction. We took advantage of an older space that was no longer being used in that building, and it's going to look really nice when we finish. On the last page, basically, is a breakdown of the cost of everything. Now, there were a couple of projects I didn't touch on. Some were completed. We still have to do a couple of things about the fire alarm system. We have a project that's underway. There's a water pipe that needs to be done in SUV. But the total that we spent, and this is just recently, we got some other projects that have been completed. I don't want to keep dealing with those, but as of right now, there's $95 million over $95,774,000 that we're receiving from CDB to do these projects. There's a few other ones. We got some work to do at the JCC on the roof that's in the pipeline. We've got work done on a couple other projects that I'm pushing them to do. Our track and field, we're trying to push them to get those projects forward as well. So we're just getting our relationship with CDB has grown over the years. We have direct meetings now with them. We have direct communication with the executive director, with the board chair. I mean, we're not all
the governor's office.
governor's office.
The governor's office, correct, exactly. So we're no longer just waiting on them. A lot of these projects I'm actually managing, along with their project managers, I'm making sure they're doing things the right way and getting them done in a speedy fashion. So again, I'm happy to see the university benefiting from employees, because to me they were all emergencies. They're just on projects. They were all emergencies that needed to be done right away. And you know, I promised President we can get this year. We'll be a little off, but for the most part, we got most of it done, and we're going to get it done this year. So again, I like the progress that we're making in these areas. I look forward to the metro station with the design that we work with them on. And that's going to come in handy with a great benefit to recruiting kids from the southeast side, Indiana, and all that up and down the Hyde Park and the north side there, which will bring more kids and students onto this campus and the state environment. So we're looking forward to that.
Being that I am a student within the residence hall who lives in the residence hall as well, are there any upcoming future projects to better the residence hall? Or
Yeah, actually there's going to be some companies are coming out for the next week. New blind furniture, we got carpets are going to be put in the floors on the interior. All that's going to take place in the next couple of weeks.
Now, with the carpet, will we have, like, the proper tools to clean?
Yeah, we clean. It's indoor. I don't know if you know, a lot of Air Force now are using a type of carpet that's indoor, so we will have a shampoo in and all that. Yeah. But the good thing about it is we can replace the pieces versus the floor gets messed up. Now, we can't replace the whole floor.
Okay.
So now the area receives some damage, something like that. We can take that section out and replace it. We do have cleaning.
You know, in addition, you know, we painted the whole first floor this summer. We'll be painting next summer. We'll be painting in the remaining two floors of the dorm. We're also going to do some concrete work on the exterior because concrete has deteriorated out front. We're going to make sure that the doors are in good shape. We're also been testing the air quality we brought out a professional environmental safety firm to take out to test the air quality to make sure the ventilation system in there is up to speed because we were seeing some mold issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending money in there. We're spending money.
Well, sounds good. What's about $200?
Like, is it more than that?
It's like
in your dreams.
Okay, any other questions, comments from the board? I would just like to say, first of all, thanks to everyone who made presentations I wish more people could hear all of the incredible things you all are doing here. It is impressive. For our students and the leaps and bounds that we have made. You know, you talk about the life. But I remember when it was pitch black here. You talk about the parking lot, but I remember when there were giant pit holes that could consume your car. And those things matter. If you're trying to be a place that Oscar's trying to help us get to where it is a school of choice for people, we have to look and be and act like a school of choice. And you are all making that happen every day, and I really just want to say on behalf of the board, thank you all very, very much. And Michael, your work in building, you just mentioned it, but that relationship with the Capital Development Board was non-existent and has been critical to our ability to put money into this institution. And so I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for your commitment to the university and what's happening here. I have to thank President Scott for her leadership, because I know maybe she hounds you a little bit.
I'm not a stern taskmaster at all.
Yeah. But I know that
you know, her passion for this place is contagious, and you carry it well. And Robin, thank you for stepping into the gap in the absence of our general counsel and helping to run our HR department. It has been a lot of work, and I am grateful. So with that, I move that the September 18th board meeting and retreat at the Chicago State University Board of Trustees. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Ms. Bates, Gilbert, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Yes.
Trustee Gallo?
Yes.
Thank you all.
Thank you.